All right, welcome back in. Rothman and Ice, Anthony Rothman, Matty Ice Hayes, and our man on the Bryant Heating Cooling Systems fan guest hotline is the man who ran that Illini offense for 4 years, took him to the Final Four back in the glory years of the late 80s, our friend Stephen Bardo. Stephen, good to have you.
Good to be here, guys. Thanks for having me.
All right, so I had a strong debate with some of my buddies last night, and some were on the fence, and some were like me, and I'll tell you what I mean by it. You can't convince me that Baylor, a team that didn't have to break a sweat on Saturday night, and a team like Gonzaga, who needed every last ounce of energy and emotion to get past UCLA in overtime, that didn't matter. And I don't know if Scott Drew said to his guys, hey, if we jump them early, we can kind of get an edge. Do you believe that Saturday night mattered after watching last night?
No, I just think that Baylor had a tremendous game plan starting out defensively. Davion Mitchell was extraordinary in his ball pressure and heating up the basketball. They had been pretty consistent throughout the tournament, Baylor, defensively. But I thought last night's effort, particularly in the first half, was special. And I don't really think, these guys are 18 to 22 years old. They understand what's at stake. They did have to go deep late against UCLA. A lot of emotion, but I don't think that had anything to do with last night. I just really think that Baylor's defensive effort all season, but particularly last night, may go down as one of the best defensive efforts against one of the better offensive teams that we've seen in college basketball in quite some time.
Staying on the defensive side of the basketball, when you look at, you know, how they slowed down Timmy and Kispert, what specifically jumped out to you? Because I'm with you. Their defensive presence was just through the roof from tip. But slowing down Timmy and Kispert, what were you seeing and how they went about doing that?
Well, a lot of times when you play Gonzaga, there's not enough athletes on the opposing team to do what Baylor can do. So what do I mean by that? When you have Davion Mitchell heating up the basketball as Suggs is bringing it up the court, that allows Butler, Teague, Chachua Chamba, I think that's how you say his name, Chamba up front, those guys to kind of lock in and they can cheat a little bit. So when you're guarding Drew Timmy and you want to front him, but you've got a guy on the backside, Baylor's athleticism really showed up in their defensive scheme. A lot of teams would like to try to guard Gonzaga the way that Baylor did, but they don't have the personnel. Whereas Baylor is so athletic and the guards are so locked in defensively, they can do some different things in terms of, all right, if the big, you front Timmy. Wherever he is on the floor, if he's in the post, you front him. We got the backside help. And there's so much ball pressure, guys, that Suggs can't pick up the ball and just throw a cross-court pass to Ayayi. Right, if Ayayi's man is sinking in defensively on the backside, he can't just pick up the ball and throw cross court like he could against other teams, because Baylor's defense and their personnel is so special that it allows them to do some special things defensively, and I think that's what we saw last night.
He's Stephen Bardo. He's college basketball analyst for Big Ten Network and Fox with us here on Rothman and Ice. You know, it's weird. Certainly Baylor dominated the game, and they dominated it, being up 19. But when Gonzaga cuts that to 10, and you're thinking, well, the team that just dominated the first half now doesn't have momentum going into the second half. And when Butler hits those two threes in the first minute of the second half, like, I'm wondering, you've been in locker rooms like that where you've had leads that have not disappeared, but where you don't have momentum going into halftime. How do you think both teams felt at halftime and what the speeches were like? Because I almost felt the same way Baylor did. If they win the first few minutes of the second half, they keep them down. But if Gonzaga can get over a hump, did you feel like the Zags were still in it? And did you feel like the Zags might even win it at halftime?
Well, I definitely thought the Zags are still in it. Because in my own playing experience, we've been down 19 points to the number three Missouri team and came back and beat them in the second half. So, you know, comebacks in those types of games are not unusual. I did think that I didn't think the game was over at halftime. And if you're Mark Few, you know, you go in and you tell your guys, hey, listen, you know, we've got this deficit that we have not had all season. but you guys haven't played very well. If you start to play a little bit better and we start to chip away at this, this is a marathon. It's not, you're not going to get it back in the first few minutes, but if you can chip away at it, you start to get into their legs a little bit, you start to get a little bit of flow on the offensive end, things can turn around. I think that would be the message that, Mark, you had at halftime. Scott Drew, on the other hand, is, guys, you know this is not over. You played a great first half. We've executed. We got to continue to execute. They're gonna throw different looks at us. But if we can continue the defensive pressure and play downhill, that's the thing that Baylor did that was so impressive. They played downhill. They kept coming at Gonzaga. They were never backing up. And there's a collective personality about the Baylor Bears that they were just grown men, and they just weren't going to be denied. So I thought at halftime it was still going to be a better game. The second half, I expected Gonzaga to really tighten it up, but Baylor just showed their prowess.
I did want to zoom out from the national championship game for a second, because we did have some history made in the college basketball world yesterday with Hubert Davis becoming the first black men's basketball coach at North Carolina. Your overall thoughts on that hire and what he'll be able to do for the Tar Heels?
I think Hubert Davis was a great hire. He understands the university, obviously being a former player. He's got NBA experience, and so that will bode well in terms of trying to attract five-star recruits to Chapel Hill. Hubert Davis, though, is – I know people say this a lot, but I don't use this very often. Hubert Davis is one of the best human beings I've ever gotten a chance to know. I mean, really – loves his family, loved his teammates when he played, loved his teammates when we were all working together at ESPN. So I've got personal experiences with Hubert. I think he's going to do an outstanding job at North Carolina, and I thought that they got that hire right.
Steven, let me ask about Indiana. It seems like they've put together an all IU-centric type situation here. Dane Fife now coming back to join Woodson. It's kind of the model now, right? It's if you can't find the next, you know, up-and-coming guy, which they tried to find in Archie Miller, you go for something that can re-engage the alum and the fan base. It looks like from the outset that Woodson has at the very least, recruited his own players to stay. How do you feel about it?
Well, I think Mike Woodson's a great hire as well. It was a surprise to me, but guys, if you are watching college basketball and you're watching these hires this season, I think Juwan Howard sent a message throughout college basketball. And now that message is being picked up by other programs. What do I mean by that? Indiana chose to go in-house. They chose to go with one of their own. North Carolina went with one of their own. But if you notice, these guys have NBA experience. And if you're going to be in a Power 5 conference in college basketball – you better be able to get some five-star recruits. Because if you look at Baylor's team, Gonzaga is talented, but Baylor just has a collection that was uncanny. They've got three or four guys that will either get their name called on NBA draft night or they will make an NBA roster. You've got to have guys that can make the NBA and thrive in the NBA if you're going to contend for national championships. Mike Woodson has 25 years of coaching experience at the NBA level. But here's what Scott Dolson did, the athletic director at Indiana, that I thought was brilliant. He brings in Thad Matta as an associate AD over basketball. That's a model that only Kentucky, mm-hmm. Kansas, and maybe Duke have. That's a tremendous move, in that Thad Matta could be one of the brightest and smartest minds in all of college mm-hmm. basketball. Knows the ins and outs. He can answer any question that Mike Woodson would ever have at the college level. So what Indiana's done, I think, is brilliant with the way that they pulled everything together.
Well done with our friend Stephen Bardo. Our condolences on your Illini, but we're in the graveyard with you. we whistled through the graveyard with you, man, with Ohio State. And I will tell you this, Stephen, if the three of us would have the conversation about no Big Ten teams making to the Final Four, I think we would all been on the other side that at least one would have. Didn't turn out that way. They had a lot of bullets, and they all turned out to be duds eventually. But we appreciate your insight, man. You be well, and we'll look forward to talking college hoops with you down the road.
Okay, thanks so much for having me, guys. I really appreciate it.